We're going to hear from God's word in Scripture now from Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25.
Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Not next week, but over the next few weeks otherwise, we're going to be looking together at the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. Begins, Our Father in heaven. And as that song that we've just sung says, there are many different versions of God around. Who we think God is going to make a huge difference to how we pray to him. There is the judgmental God, the one who is always looking to find fault with us, the one who delights to pick holes in what we are doing, the one that can never be pleased. And then, cutting out 999 other versions, there is the version that Jesus gave us. And almost 2,000 years ago now, Jesus went up onto the mountainside and he spoke to his disciples. And the teaching that he gave them has been brought together in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And as the centerpiece of this teaching, Jesus gave us a prayer. When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. I heard somebody suggest that the Sermon on the Mount could be best titled, How to Live with Your Heavenly Father. Jesus wants us to know who our Father in heaven is, and amongst other things, the right way to speak to him. Jesus tells us, before he gets to this prayer, that he wants us to love our enemies. Why should we love our enemies? Because that's what God is like. Jesus says, Your Father in heaven, this one that you are praying to, is perfect. And he shows that perfection in his ability to love and to keep loving no matter what you do. Jesus says that God is somebody, God our Father, who causes his Son to rise on the evil and good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He has this love that cannot be broken by the things that we do. So Jesus wants us to attempt to do that as well. He's calling his friends to a really important job here. He's calling them to be different. But he wants them to know the sort of difference that they are meant to be. Be like your Father. He loves his enemies. He loves the people who today are doing violence in his name. He loves the, well, add whatever sin you want to add. He loves the abuser. He loves the person who hurts other people. He loves the people who have been unfaithful. He loves because he loves. And because nothing in his heart can stop him from loving you. Jesus says, this is the Father that you go to when you pray. And as we get into chapter 6 that we read from today, Jesus wants us to know something about the Father. There is something here that's stressed in these verses around the Lord's Prayer, that you have a Father in heaven who loves to reward you. In fact, in the verses around the Lord's Prayer, the word reward is used 7 times. 4 times it's warning us the wrong way to try and go about getting a reward, and 3 times telling us the right way to go about getting a reward. But the basic point to make before we even get into thinking about, well, how do we get rewarded, is just to say God wants to reward us. It says in the letter to the Hebrews, we don't know who wrote this book of the Bible, but it says that whoever comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So when we come to pray, there is a Father in heaven who longs to give us something. There's a Father in heaven whose hands are open towards us. Well, what sort of reward does God want to bring us? Well, Jesus has already been talking about this in the sermon. He talks about people being comforted. He talks about people who inherit the earth, people who are filled, people who are shown mercy, people who will, this is the cracker, this one, people who will see God. People who will be called children of God. And again, people who will receive the kingdom of heaven. Now, we could easily spend a week on all of those. But Jesus says that when we come to the Father, he longs to give us these things. He is incredibly generous towards us. So Jesus says, when you pray, don't make a big deal of it. Now, this passage, it's not so obvious in English. It's much more obvious in the original language. It's talking both about private prayer and it's talking about how we pray when we come together. Jesus says, when you pray your personal prayers, don't make a big thing about it. Don't make a show to other people. Jesus says, if you try and impress others, you won't be rewarded for that. But go into your room. Go into the smallest room. Shut the door so that nobody can see you. And pray to your Father in heaven. And Jesus often used to follow this, not just by going into the house, but by disappearing off into the countryside where nobody could see him, to find a lonely place where he could pray. So, you want to pray to God today? You want God to reward you? You know, it's tempting to think there are good techniques in prayer, that there are good things to say. But the message from this morning is really quite a simple one, that God is our Father and he longs for us to come and pray. So find the quiet place. Find the place where nobody knows that you're doing it. Now, I must say, normally, if people come up to me and they say, we're doing something that you said in the sermon, or I understood something from the sermon, I really love it. But on this occasion, please don't even do that. Just go and do it. And don't tell anybody that you're doing it. And you might say, well, what should I say when I'm there on your own? Well, talk about stuff. Talk about the things that are going on in your life. Talk to God as if he's somebody who loves you and who cares about you. But it's not about getting the words right. There's stuff about that elsewhere in the New Testament. None of us are good at praying. None of us are good at knowing the right thing to pray. Most of us really struggle. But God can take what we offer and make it into something wonderful. So just go. Just go to the quiet place, whether that's out in the countryside or whether it's a room in your house where you can get a bit of privacy, easier for some of us than others, of course. You know, I had a colleague once, and I know that his quiet place was in a bookshop. He'd just go into a bookshop, and he'd pick a book, and he'd read it, but he wasn't just reading it. He was praying to the Father in heaven, and I don't think his congregation ever found out which bookshop it was, so he was able to go and get that bit of privacy. And maybe be quiet for a bit. Just say to the Father, well, I'm here, and I'm here for you, and I want you to reward me. Not selfish rewards. You know, you're not saying, Lord, I want you to fill up my bank account next week or anything like that. No, the sort of rewards that Jesus has for us. He is your Father. And then Jesus talks about how we pray when we come together. Begin, our Father in heaven. Jesus says that our Heavenly Father cares about us. He's actually bothered about the detail of our life. Now, we can get into that a bit more later when we talk about give us this day our daily bread. But we need to know at the beginning, God is bothered about these things. God says, you know, that even a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your Heavenly Father knowing about it. And Jesus expected that his friends were going to go through tough times. He wasn't saying to them, everything's going to be nice, you're always going to have lots of money in the bank, you're always going to have a nice home. No, he wasn't saying that in the slightest. But what he was saying was that every time you take a blow, every time you take the hit, your Heavenly Father is watching you, and he is caring for you, and he is looking out for you. And Jesus himself modeled that. He trusted God when he took the blows. He trusted God when he took the hits, because he believed that that was what his Father was calling him to, and because he believed that God would turn it round. As, of course, for those of us who believe, God so wonderfully did. Jesus talks about our own experience of fatherhood, and I guess what he says isn't true for some of us today, but many of us will have had this experience of having a parent who really loved us and really wanted to have good things for us. I was very blessed personally. I had parents who seriously wanted the best for me and were prepared to put themselves out to make it happen. And Jesus says, well, if we can know about experiences like this, if you've ever met anybody, it doesn't have to be a parent, but if you've ever met anybody who cared for you, then God is more than that. God truly cares. So he says, if human beings are able, to some extent, to give good gifts, how much more our Father will give good gifts to us? And I think the main point here for this morning is not to try and list what those good gifts will be, but actually to see something of our Father's heart as we approach him in worship. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open to you. And as Matthew's gospel goes on from teaching us this prayer, Jesus keeps coming back to this idea of God the Father. One of the things that the Father loves to do, according to Jesus, is to reveal himself to those who come humbly and who ask for it. Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to little children. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a bit learned. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a bit wise. But I do know it's not the way, really, to get to know God. The way to get to know God, go to your own room. Go to the quiet place and ask him to do it. And at times it will feel very strange. At times you will feel this is a complete waste of time. What is going on here? But when Jesus says, ask and seek and knock, again, this isn't so obvious in English, but it's really important to understand what Jesus is saying. He's saying, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Jesus says, no one knows the Son except the Father. And here's the bit. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So we pray. And God has sent his Son into the world. And through the Son, we get to know the Father. We're talking here about things that are beyond words, but we're talking about things that Jesus promised us. That Jesus says that going on this journey of prayer is worth it. Remember, one of the sort of things about the people who will be blessed, as we saw already this morning, is there are those who will see God. Jesus tells us not to call anyone on earth Father, because we have one Father and he is in heaven. There is one person who we ultimately get all of our love from. And Matthew's gospel finishes by Jesus telling us to go out and make disciples of all nations and to baptize them, to immerse them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there we have it. We have a Father. And he loves us. And he wants to reward us. And he calls us to the quiet place where we can meet with him and discover him as the Father. I want to read something as we come to an end here. This was in a book I was reading about the Sermon on the Mount this week, and I think this is wonderful. When Jesus talks about God, it's important to realize which God he's talking about. He's not talking about a God who's distant from the world, who doesn't care about beauty and life and food and clothes. He's talking about the Creator himself, who has filled the world with wonderful and mysterious things, full of beauty and energy and excitement, and who wants his human creatures above all to trust him and to love him and to receive their own beauty, energy, and excitement from him. So when Jesus tells us not to worry about what to eat or drink or wear, he doesn't mean that these things don't matter. He doesn't mean that we should prefer to eat and drink as little as possible and to wear the most ragged and disreputable clothes just to show we despise such things. Far from it. Jesus liked a party as much as anyone. And when he died, the soldiers so admired his tunic that they threw dice for it rather than tearing it up. But the point was about priorities. Put the world first, and you'll find it gets moth-eaten in your hands. Put God first, and you'll get the world thrown in.